Good morning. It's good to see all of you here worshiping. The Word of God today comes to us from two places, Proverbs 26 and 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? Now, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. It was around August of 1995. I was invited to be the lead pastor for the Young Nak English Ministry. And after the service, we had a gathering of kind of Q&A time. They had a lot of food and people, and they were allowed to ask any question that they might have about the new pastor. And someone asked a question about what was your most embarrassing moment. And, you know, my answer shocked a lot of people. I won't repeat it here. It was quite shocking to a lot of people, my most embarrassing moment. If I get a chance, I'll share with you someday. But one question that stands out even to this day is this one. One sister raised her hand and asked this question. Pastor Jim Bob, how long are you going to stay at this church? This question took me by surprise. Surprisingly, I gave a generic answer, as long as God allows me to stay. But this sister wouldn't back down. She wanted how many years, exact number of years that I would stay. I told her, let's lease for five and have five options after that. And after all that, all was over, that question lingered in my mind. What was the meaning of that question? How long will you stay at this church? Well, I understood it as, are you going to be faithful to this church, or are you going to bail out whenever a better opportunity comes up, or whenever things get hard, are you going to just jump the ship? She was asking the question of faithfulness. Faithfulness is a rare quality today. It is the kind of quality or character that seems to be just valued as other traits or things in our society today. But we know that faithfulness is very important, especially to us Christians. Why? Why is it so important? As we are talking about spiritual sculpting series, this is one of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. God calls us to be faithful. Why? First of all, because our God is faithful God. If you read Psalm 33, 4, the latter part says this, He is faithful in all He does. His faithfulness does not change by his mood, depending on how he feels on that day. He's faithful in some day and not in others. No, he's not like that. He is faithful in all of his days. He does not forget to be faithful because there are so many things to do. Because of his business in his kingdom, he doesn't fail to be faithful. God has been, is, and will continue to be faithful. And his desire for his children is to be like him, to be faithful. Of all the people on this earth, God's people should be the people who can be trusted, who can be dependable, and who can we can be considered as faithful people. Not only at church, but in our homes and in our workplaces and wherever we are. And the second reason why we need to be faithful is this, because we ought to be faithful because faithfulness makes life much easier. Here's a dumb question. With whom would you like to associate with? Faithful, dependable friend, or friend who's always breaking promises and who is a flake? Well, the answer is very obvious and simple. We rather have faithful friends. Proverbs 25:19 says this, like a bad tooth or a lame foot, is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. What this passage means is this, when you have a toothache or a pain in your foot, you never know when a shooting pain is going to go through your body, so your life will be miserable or you'll be always in the state of being tense. In the same way, when you live or work with unfaithful people, you never know when they're going to mess up, when they're going to bring you down, when they're going to disappoint you. So you're always in stress or you're always tense. Life works so much better when people are faithful. and when we are consistent and reliable in our own lives. So let me ask you a question. What kind of person are you? Do you have a kind of reputation that you are reliable, trustworthy, dependable? Faithfulness is not an optional trait for us. It makes us or breaks us. You may be very talented, gifted. You may have incredible creativity. You may have all kinds of education. But without faithfulness, without dependability, those things really don't amount to anything. It's important to be faithful because God rewards our faithfulness. Matthew 25:21 says this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Well, God says, you've been faithful with little things, and he will trust us with much more. He rewards us, and he brings us into his happiness because of our faithfulness. Well, then we know faithfulness is good. It is a necessity. It is a must. Then how can we grow? In what areas of faithfulness can we grow in? How does a faithfulness look like? Well, I'm going to share 5 characteristics of faithfulness and kind of paint a picture of what faithfulness looks like. First thing is this, faithfulness keeps promises. Let me ask you a question straight out. Are you a promise keeper or are you a promise breaker? Have you ever said, "I will call you right back," but never call them back? And you told someone, "Let's get together sometime soon," but never had an intention of getting together? Or sometimes we say, "I will pray for you," but never get around praying for that person. But when we say some things to someone, some of those people who are on the receiving end may take it as a promise. But when we do not fulfill it, then we become promise breakers. How reliable is your word? Well, how reliable is your word to your children? Many times as parents, we make all kinds of promises, especially when we're faced with crisis. When your kid is crying and when your kid is just misbehaving outside, especially outside, we make empty promises. If you stop right now, I'm going to get you a toy or I'm going to do something for you that you will really be happy. But we wanted to get out of a situation, so we just make empty promises. Children, believe me, remember your promises. It is very important that when we make a promise to our children that we're going to follow through. Our children learn from us. When we live a life of breaking promises, then they not only lose trust from the parents, but also they will live the same life. I heard that the number one problem in a child-parent relationship is resentment. One of the main causes of resentment is a broken promises. We parents fail to fulfill the promise we make to our children, so people start building, not children, start having resentment. Resentment means feeling something over, feeling that pain and feeling that brokenness over again, and we don't want to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 says this, "It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it." This is the word of God. It is better off not making promises if we cannot fulfill that promise. And sometimes we make promises to God. Are you fulfilling the promise that you have made to God? Perhaps on your younger days, you made promise to God. At a camp or at a mission site, you made a promise to God to do something. Or if you're going to make a promise, make sure you fulfill it. Because God's going to remember. I guess God is like our children. He doesn't forget. You know, when you are dependable, you don't have to convince other people that you are really dependable. They will know it. They will see it. They will see your track record. They know rather or not you are reliable or consistent. Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and let your no be no." We need to be consistent with our words. We need to be dependable people. And sometimes not only we make promises to our children, to our God, but we make promises, especially those of you who are married, to our spouse. If you want to grow in faithfulness, you are to honor the vows and the promises that you have made in your marriage. I'm sure in your wedding ceremony, there was an exchange of vows before the exchange of rings. And every ceremony I perform, I remind the couple about the importance of the ring. I tell them that the ring is an unending circle, which represents unending commitment to each other, reminding them that it is made of precious metal, which signifies the preciousness of the vow that they're making, the commitment and the promise that they're making. And the promise that you made is that you are going to be faithful. Faithful no matter what the world may bring in good times and bad times, in healthy times and sick times, in wealthy times and poor times. You made promise to each other to be faithful, to stick together. How well have you kept your faithfulness? Just because you have not had any kind of cheated on your spouse, you make excuse of being, oh, I've been faithful. Well, take a deep breath and listen to this. Whenever you put something in your life that is more important than your spouse, you are being unfaithful in your marriage relationship. Whenever you put job or other people or friends and even church work, your community activities, your hobby, golf, whatever that may be, whatever you put in place of your spouse that is more important than your spouse, then you are not being dependable and you're not being faithful because you made a promise that you are going to put your spouse above anything else. Well, I'm talking about among the human beings. The only promise that is made before God and all the witnesses is with your spouse, not with your children, not with your friends. So make sure that you keep promises that you have made in your marriage relationship. Bible says that marriage is to be the second most important relationship that we have. Apart from our relationship to God, it is the most important relationship that we have among people, between people, because it is a covenant relationship. That's why the promises that we have made in our marriage vow is important. Make marriage a top priority of your life. Put effort to work into the relationship. You need to be able to say to other things that you are just, your spouse is the most important person in your life. You gotta be able to say with the confidence because that's the relationship promise that you have made before God and the witnesses. You need to say no to other people and to other activities so that you could spend time, energy, and resources to be able to say yes to your spouse and your marriage relationship. Why am I emphasizing so much on the marriage? Because the faithfulness of marriage is so important that right now, in the present day, the families are falling apart. Husband and wife relationship is falling apart. And because the falling apart of a family unit, it just makes the whole society and the world fall apart. So we need to go back to the Garden of Eden and really see what God made, what relationship that God really made important. Faithfulness is a choice that we make. We choose to be faithful. It is not dependent upon the circumstances. It is not dependent upon whether or not our partner is faithful to us or not. Regardless of how my spouse is, I am called to be faithful. You know, I tell all couples that I marry, you know, every morning when you wake up, instead of always kind of thinking about what have you done for me, rather than being conditional, always kind of asking our spouse, what can I do to really empower you, to really build you up? I think that really speaks volume to your relationship. And the second thing that we need to do is not only we keep the promises that we make, but we need to use our talents for us to be faithful. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever God has given us as a gift, we need to be faithfully administering to other people. If you want to grow in faithfulness, begin to use your talents, not just for yourself, but the work of the Lord, to be a blessing to other people as well. Some of you might say, well, I'm not gifted, I'm not talented, I'm not creative, I'm not that resourceful. Well, let me clarify this. Faithfulness does not depend on what you don't have and you can't do. Faithfulness depends on what you have and what you can do, what God has already given you. In the parable of talents, there are three servants who received different amount of talents. The fact of that parable is that all three servants received talents, some more than the other, but all three received talents. Some of us may feel like, I don't have as much as other people, but you do have something because you were created for a purpose. And only fulfillment and joy comes when we are willing to live according to how God has shaped and molded us. You're not responsible for what you don't have, but you are responsible for what you have. The guy with the one talent, he was responsible for that one talent, but he decided to do nothing with it. So later on, what was he called? He wasn't called a faithful servant. He was called a wicked servant, a bad servant, and he was kicked out of a party. You are to be faithful for whatever it is that God has given you. The world seems to crown success. God crowns faithfulness. God is not looking for your ability, but God is looking for your availability. I'm sure you've heard that cliche somewhere. Men measure success by numbers, but God measures success by faithfulness. Man's concern is how many are there in your church? But God's concern is this: how faithful are people and how are they using their talents to give God glory? Not only do we need to keep promise, also use our talent, but thirdly, we need to manage our material goods, money, well. If you develop the fruit of faithfulness, if you want to develop the fruit of faithfulness, you have to learn to manage your money according to God's ways. Luke 16:11 says this: Jesus said, "If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" God is saying, how can I trust you with spiritual wealth and spiritual resources and spiritual blessings if you are not even trustworthy with the earthly blessing that is put in your life? We need to ask ourselves this question. Am I being wise manager, good steward of the resources and the money that God has entrusted to me? Do I pay my bills on time? Am I good steward in the areas of my life? Am I faithful in the areas of giving, of tithing? Because God loves a cheerful giver, the Bible says. How am I? Am I a hoarder or am I a giver? We need to use whatever God has entrusted to us for us to be faithful servant. It means to really give. One other area of our finance that we ought to continually need to grow is in the area of giving. Willingness to give back to God, because it is not ours. We are just stewards. We don't own it, but we just manage it. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians 16:2 says this: on every Lord's Day — this is Living Bible, so you won't see it on the screen — on every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for the offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. The more God entrusts, the more God expects. It is not for us to enjoy whatever wealth that God is putting in our bank account. It is for us to really live our life, for us to bring glory to God, and for people to see our good deeds and give glory to God. So many times people give, but they give when there's emotion involved. When my heart is moved, when I feel like it, and you know, just there's a lot of feeling involved when it comes to giving. But the fact is, emotions change with circumstances and situations. We need to plan out our giving. We need to open our hands for God to fill them with more. And only way is for us to open our hands. There's a classic story of how in Africa, a certain tribe catch monkeys. They have a dry gourd. It's kind of like dried gourd is a hard. It's like a coconut shell, and they put a little hole for monkeys to put their hands in. And in it, they put like stuff that the monkeys like. It could be nuts or it could be fruit, whatever it is that monkeys like. And they just put that and tie to a tree. And the monkey comes and they grab onto whatever they want to take out. But once they make a fist, they cannot take the hand out. And so all that the hunter has to do is come and catch the monkey. All that the monkey had to do is let go. But the monkey wouldn't let go of whatever he had on his hand, thinking that now I grabbed it, it's mine. But he was trying to take it, but he couldn't take the hand out because he made a fist. That's how it is when we live in the world, when we want to take out stuff from the world and don't want to let go, thinking that this is mine, that you are not going to be happy. You are going to be hunted by the world. So friends, learn to give, because our God is a giver and he wants us to give as well. And the fourth way that we can be faithful is doing our best at our work. Paul writes in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. We need to recognize that while on the job, we are not working for our boss, but we are working for God. A lot of times we kind of, look for ways to work, just avoid the sight of the boss so that I can, kind of goof around time to time. But Bible says, no, don't do that. Work as if you're working for the Lord, because God is with us all the time and he's watching us. So he wants us to have that kind of mindset. Friends, God is calling each one of us to be faithful. And his faithfulness is not only during the times of worship, during the times of us coming to church, but in all areas of life, and especially in our homes and in our workplaces. We talked about being faithful to, whatever we say to our children and to our spouse, but in our workplaces as well. And lastly, we need to commit ourselves to church. Romans 12:5 says this, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belonged to all the others. God placed the church on this earth for us to practice the kingdom life, for us to experience the life of a community, rather than just being a spectator, become an active participant. Rather than looking for a church that will satisfy my needs, look for a church where I can be faithful. Our worship is fairly new worship, and we began not that long ago, and we're just right now still forming and reforming. And we need a lot of people who are faithful. Don't just come to check it out. Don't just come as a guest. Be faithful. Commit yourself so that, be like a postage stamp. Stick to the envelope until you're delivered. We need to stick to whatever we have committed and see to the end. Question that I want to ask to all of us is this. As we serve faithful God, are you faithful to God? Can God count on you to show the world that his children are dependable and trustworthy and faithful? Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us this Sunday, and we hear another fruit of a spirit, faithfulness. It's so hard to find faithfulness in our society. It is something that people look at the dictionary to find the meaning of it. But Lord, we know that our God is faithful, and all that we have to do is just mimic our God. God, we want to be faithful in our homes, in our workplaces, in our church, in the world that we're living in, so that the world will see who we are and say, that person is faithful. I can count on that person. May we become such people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.